This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Recently, there was an article in the Washington Post about that the NOPD had secretly monitored New Orleans with facial recognition cameras. And it lays out a theory about how certain things were conducted and the like. And here to talk to us about is Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. Skip, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Noel. How are you doing?
Skip, your thoughts about what the Post revealed in their article.
You know, I think they did a nice job. I think it was pretty balanced. I think that there was some holes that need to be filled. And one of the things they didn't discuss is that this is not widely used within the NOPD. It was really restricted to the 8th District, which is the French Quarter. The other districts in New Orleans were not using this for the most part. And most of the officers I've talked to were even unfamiliar with this app outside of the French Quarter. They had to go through a routine procedure for violent crimes, for asking for permission to use facial recognition, which is what the city council spelled out. So this is not citywide. As a matter of fact, if you were in the 8th District, there was a room with a couple of very large monitors. I think it's called the Promenade Room, where you would sometimes see this displayed. And you would see these, you know, squares over the face where they're identifying images. So, but the rest of the article was pretty spot on. So I know Yes.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know he tried to interview some of the city council members about this since, you know, the laws were passed by the city council. But I think that no city council member was willing to meet with him. But he did manage to meet Annika Patrick and Brian Lagarde from Project NOLA, and they both spoke with him. But it is interesting. One of the things I teach in my forensics class is the limitations of eyewitnesses, and there are so many of them. Is it day? Is it night? How far are they? Did the person that identified the persons have glasses? Did they need glasses? How good is that person's facial recognition skills? We're not all the same. We look different, and we have a different ability to identify faces. And then, did it happen during a traumatic event? We're more likely to remember something if it was a traumatic event rather than just passing someone on a sidewalk. Eyewitnesses have a lot of limitations, and I don't think we often think about them. We automatically assume an eyewitness is a very, very good source of information. And I think, as you know, as a police officer, this is often not the case.
Certainly, and I would go so far as to say I would believe that the error rate is probably greater of eyewitness identifications than facial recognition. And I think we don't know for sure, for certain, but I think it's going to end up proving itself in that regard. I was curious. It seemed to me that the manner in which procedurally they ended up using this in a very loose fashion, though, made a lot of sense. And they did point it out that, you know, it was no different to me than somebody walking up to a police officer and say, hey, I know that Joe X is wanted. I saw his picture the other day on the news. Well, he's over there at Bourbon and Iberville on the corner. I just saw him. Mm-hmm. You know, and as opposed to getting one of these alerts that are going out that's saying, we picked up this individual who's wanted for whatever on this corner, it would seem to me that you have an obligation to go check it out, right?
And yes, absolutely. And I think that you have to think about it in this way. It's a tool in your toolbox. And like any carpenter, if you use a tool wrong, there's going to be problems. And I think we need to coherently think about it. And one of the things that I've seen from the chief is that she seems to be thinking about this in a very thoughtful way about how this could be used. And she's made comments like, I don't want to comment about that right now, which is, I think, excellent. She's thinking about it. How should we do this? But we shouldn't throw the tool away. And certainly when Project NOLA reports that they've had a match, I don't think you turn around and ignore that. I think that would be just ignoring the tool. And there, I guess there's some states that have actually banned facial recognition. I think this is it's a horrible idea. But we do need to think about how to coherently use that. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Look at what other jurisdictions have done and incorporate their best practices. You don't need to write your own brand new set of rules. Just look and see what some other jurisdiction who has thoughtfully thought about this process has done, and then adapt their policies. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the efficacy of the technology just recently with one of the escapees that was identified as being in the French Quarter, right? I mean,
yep, absolutely. And I think most of us would think that that's a pretty good use of the technology. I think there is a place for it. And like I mentioned, it's a tool. It can be misused. And we need to be careful that it is not misused. But my feeling right now is the city council has to come back and revisit the rules that they put together. I think they are too stringent and restrict the ability of an officer to use this tool in an intelligent way.
Well, it was a typical example of being caught up in an ideological warfare, right? And mm-hmm. to me, it was an emotional overreaction. And it was the same thing that happened with Palantir, with the utilization mm-hmm. of data and creating dashboards as to what is historically experienced crime rates in a geographic region, and tracking that and setting out alerts, you know, when you see these anomalies that occur. And they're like, everybody's freaking out about this. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's like, yet it's another tool. You're not targeting anybody. You just want to know when things are kind of running amok in a particular piece of geography and doing mm-hmm. it in an automated fashion, you know. And we went from there to other aspects of Palantir, you know, that we were utilizing for intelligence-led policing as though there was something sinister there. The data is the data.
I mean, yes.
It is what it is, you know, and we've made everything sinister.
Mm-hmm. And I think your very first point was it was an emotional overreaction. I think you're right. And I think it just needs to be revisited again. But, you know, there are limitations with it, eyewitnesses, and there's a lot of them. But there are also limitations with cameras. Is it day or night? How good is the resolution of that camera? A lot of these, like Ring cameras, the resolution is quite good if you're within a few feet. Mm-hmm. But once you go much further than that, you lose a lot of detail. They're very low resolution cameras, and you can't do this sci-fi thing where you enhance, enhance, enhance. You're limited to the number of pixels that camera has. And that is a limitation to these things. So if you're trying to do a lot of matching points on a face and there's not a lot of pixels on that camera, you're not going to get good data. And we have to think about this. And it's going to be a challenging issue.
You may not get good data as to the facial recognition, but there are other pieces of evidence that are presented. Type of clothing, color of clothing, tattoos, the gait of your walk, the gait of your run, shoes, hairstyle, you know, which doesn't require the same focal efficacy that facial recognition characteristics require that are evident in the video. You know, because people immediately focus in on the quality of the facial recognition characteristics and totally want to discount everything else that's on that video.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, if somebody walks with a limp, it's a valuable piece of information. If they favor their right leg as opposed to their left leg, you know, valuable pieces of information that we totally discount, and we want to discount the entire technology. And again, I think has been an emotional overreaction. I kind of view that in when I hear the ACLU, who is, you know, talking about and Nathan Wessler was quoted as saying, this is the government giving itself the power to track anyone, for that matter, everyone, as we go about our lives walking around in the public. Well, that's not what this was. This wasn't the government doing it. This was the private sector doing it. And, you know, neighborhood associations are linking together their ring camera data all day long. In fact, these neighborhood watch groups that are the most successful in making sure that their streets are safe are the ones that are coming together sharing this information. They're not going to stop this. Government doesn't need to be involved in this, and Project NOLA is a great example of it.
I think you're absolutely right. My neighborhood signed on to Project NOLA after we had a significant murder in the neighborhood, and we put up dozens of cameras, and it made a difference. It made a difference because those things watch 24/7. They watch 24/7, and you and I are just not capable of that. And now, that was some years ago. Now, adding facial recognition to this, I mean, the cameras can identify not only facial recognition, but license plates. Do we need to ignore license plates now? Do we ignore that a vehicle went through? Because the cameras will identify vehicles. They will separate between vehicles and people and pets, and this is all helpful information. So, and I think a lot of folks, you know, don't understand there's different levels of evidence. DNA is amazingly good, but everything doesn't rise to that level. It doesn't mean that we throw it out like a partial fingerprint. We don't throw out the evidence because it is not as good as DNA. We still use it, and hopefully we gather lots of pieces of information, and together that provides a picture. And this is one of those pieces.
Yeah, and you know, there's some misnomers about, or misconceptions, I should say, about DNA as well. It's not as easily collected evidence as a lot of people want you to believe. You don't leave DNA in thin air, you know, and the likelihood of DNA evidence being recovered is really not a significant difference in a fingerprint, quite frankly, in many respects. You know, it's just a different type of technology, but we've blown it up by looking at television and movies into something that it really isn't. You know, there's a belief out there. Let us take a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. We've been talking about the Washington Post article by Doug McMillan that talked about Project NOLA and their utilization of facial recognition in some of their surveillance cameras throughout the French Quarter. And as was pointed out by Dr. Gallagher earlier in the interview, that it was predominantly used in the 8th District, not throughout the city. There were a lot of representations that this was a citywide effort, and that this is the first time in the history of this country that a city in its totality were utilizing this technology. All of that was false. And, you know, there was another observation, Doc, I want to get your reaction to, that he talked about this report that was done by Bill Bratton, and that he didn't mention in there, they said he did not recommend adding any form of facial recognition. Well, why do so when it's outlawed by ordinance by the city, the same way that he didn't take a position on open carry either in the French Quarter, because that's allowed by state statute.
Mm-hmm. You know, just before your show, I was reading the ordinance, and it placed significant restrictions on the use of facial recognition, essentially saying, sort of after the fact, that they could use video and use that facial recognition to possibly identify someone. The restrictions are quite severe. The rest of the city has been using that, but it's almost exclusive to violent crimes. So it didn't permit facial recognition for lesser crimes. And again, it put a number of barriers in the way of using facial recognition. So the rest of the city is sort of restricted to that, while the 8th was using Project NOLA cameras to basically scan any, you know, extensively within the French Quarter, any of the cameras that are there for Project NOLA. Now, again, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
But they were using it in a different way, right? Because they had already reached a probable cause level, because they already had a warrant issued for these individuals' arrest, and these alerts that were going out were individuals that were wanted by the police. So that it wasn't like they were trying to link an individual to a crime that had already been established. The only question left was, is this in fact the guy that we want?
Yes. And but that was not going on in other parts of the city, and they were having to sort of retroactively look at video and compare that to an image, and then only for folks that were wanted for crimes that were violent in nature. In the case of Project NOLA, they didn't face those restrictions. And it's entirely unclear whether the city statutes apply to them. It's a private organization with their own cameras. They're not using city resources in that respect. And they are using pictures that are available, mugshots to scan and look through, actively look through in real time crowds. And of course, the quarter has bigger crowds, so a lot of faces going through the quarter. Now that has stopped, and I think that stopped once the Washington Post began asking questions about the practice. So it's a little unusual, and I think the Washington Post found that it isn't occurring in other cities. In other cities, they're using their own resources, and they have their own set of rules that they're following. So, and I think Chief Kilpatrick's been sort of clear about this. She's sort of stepping back to look at this, and I think that's exactly what needs to be done. And then maybe go to the city council, suggest what's needed, or maybe some reforms that need to occur so that it can be used, just as we talked about earlier, as a tool in your toolbox. But you probably have to even address officer training in this, because just because you get a close match doesn't mean that is the person. So, and officers need to realize that it's not 100% like many other techniques. It might be good. It might be even better than eyewitnesses, but it doesn't ensure you have the right person. So,
yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting about in one paragraph, they pointed out, you know, the alert comes out, the officers can pull up a booking photo of the individual on their laptop. They can look at that photo. They can go to the location of the camera where they pick up the individual. They can look at the individual, see if, in fact, it matches the booking photo or the other whatever photo they have in their system, and determine whether or not that's the individual.
Yes. You know, yes. I mean, and I just don't see a lot of problems with this.
My point is simply, without any additional training, they figured out exactly what they need to do in order to validate, you know, the frailties of facial recognition, right?
Yes.
By pulling down the booking photo, looking at it and saying, oh, yeah, that's the guy standing right there.
Yep. And if you had an eyewitness reporting something similar, the same sort of behaviors would occur from an officer. And I've talked to students in my forensics classes about whether they would be comfortable with this. And for the most part, they say yes. They are comfortable with this idea.
You get anonymous calls saying, you know, you want this guy for murder. He's standing over here in the parking lot at whatever shopping center. You go check it out.
Yes.
We got to get to the break. Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.